Are you?
We're holding on Pei Gimel Amud Bey's the second line from the bottom. We learned yesterday about five opinions about this business of an Olulo Yehudu. Three in the Mishnah, we had Rav Yeshua saying that anything that belongs on the fire of the Mizbeach has the rules of an Olulo Yehudu. According to Rav Gamliel, anything that belongs on the Mizbeach, period, even blood and Nesachim. According to Reb Shimon, anything that belongs on the Mizbeach independently, as opposed to Nesachim that come with the Korban. Then in the Braisa, we had two more. We had Reb Yosef Aglili saying any animals, and according to Reb Akiva, any living creatures, birds included. But according to both of them, Menachos and things like that are excluded. So now the Gemara says Resh Lakish Omar, or Omar Resh Lakish, it's really supposed to be, because he's not arguing with the previous opinion. He's going to have the usual rule in the Gemara, is when you have Omar, Reb Pliny, it means he's starting something new. When it's Reb Pliny Omer, then it means, or Omar, or Omer, then it means that he's arguing. So here, Resh Lakish is not arguing with anything that we said until now. He's going to be saying a new statement. So Omar Resh Lakish, Mincha ba b'fnei atzma. Now, like this, we talked in the Mishnah about a mincha that comes as nesachim together with a korban. But you can have, of course, a mincha that comes by itself. And it can be. I mean, you can have a regular mincha, and you can even have a minchas nesachim, because a person is allowed to voluntarily say, I will bring a minchas nesachim, the proper amounts that are brought together with the Torah tells us in Parashas Shlach, the different amounts of nesachim for different types of animals. Cattle get one amount, rams get a different amount, anything else from the sheep or goat family gets a different amount. A person can vow to bring that alone to the Beis Hamikdash, to bring that alone as a korban, and that's valid. So now, mincha ba b'fnei atzma, so a mincha that comes by itself, not as whether as a regular mincha or a minchas nesachin, l'divrei kulan lo tered, then according to the three tanoim of our Mishnah, if there's some psul in it, it won't be taken off the Mizbeach, because it does belong on the fire of the Mizbeach, it belongs on the Mizbeach b'chlal, and it's... And it's not something coming as an adjunct to something else. The divrei of Yosef Aglili, Rabbi Akiva, Tered, but according to Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, will have to come off the Mizbeach, because according to them, the rule of Im Olulo Yodu applies only to animal korbanos or animal plus bird korbanos. Mincha ba imazevach. What about the other way around, when the mincha comes together with the korban? So then, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, it will not be taken off the Mizbeach, because such the mincha that comes together with a korban is burnt on the fire of the Mizbeach. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua would apply the rule of Olulo Yehudu to it. Rabbi Gamliel certainly would, because it goes on the Mizbeach at all. Rabbi Shimon would not, because it doesn't come independently. So the divrei of Rav Gamliel over Rav Yeshua leiteret, the divrei kulan teret, but according to the other three tanoim, you would take it off the mizbeach, according to Rav Shimon, because it's not independent, and according to Rav Yosef Aglili and Rav Akiva, because it is, because it's not an animal or bird korban. Nesachim aboyin b'fnei atzmon. What about the nesachim that come by themselves? Namely, if a person is again, same way as a person can be menadev a mincha by itself, a person can also be menadev the wine by itself, and then that will be poured on the mizbeach. L'divrei kulan yodu. So then, according to most of the tanoim, it will be taken off the mizbeach if it's possible. L'divrei Rav Gamliel, Rav Shimon lo yodu. Only Rav Gamliel and Rav Shimon would say that it should stay. Rav Gamliel because it goes on the mizbeach. And Reb Shimon says that, and Reb Shimon because it's coming independently. But according to Reb Yeshua, no, because it doesn't go on the fire. And according to Reb Yosef Aglili, no, because it's not an animal. And according to Reb Akiva, no, because it's not an animal or a bird. What about Nesachim Aboyim Imazevach? What about when the Nesachim comes with the korban? So now the wine is being brought together with the korban. Then, L'divrei Kulam Yehudu, L'divrei Rav Gamliel L'chudei L'Yehudu. So then, According to four out of the five tanoim, if there's a psul in it, it would be taken off the mizbeach. Only according to Rav Gamliel would it not, because Rav Gamliel was saying anything that goes on the mizbeach stays on there, even when it's possible. Jews. But everybody else, Rabbi Yeshua would say no because it doesn't go on the fire. Rabbi Shimon would say no because it doesn't come independently. Rabbi Yosef really would say no because it's not an animal. Rabbi Akiva would say no because it's not an animal or a bird. Now, all of this is true, of course, but you want to ask Pshita, well, isn't this obvious? I mean, once we understand the opinions of the five Tanoim, then we can deduce all of this ourselves. Why does Rish Lakish need to tell us that? And the answer is Mincha Abav Efnei Atzma Itzrichalei, because the Chiddush that Rish Lakish wanted to highlight is the case of the Mincha that comes by itself. Namely, this is the very point that a person is able to bring a Mincha which will be completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Like this, a person can bring a regular mincha, but a regular mincha, unless he's a kohen mitzvah is taken from it and burnt on the mizbeach, together with the levona and the rest of it, the kohenim eat. If he's a kohen, then the pasuk says that a minchas kohen is always burnt. So then, of course, any regular mincha that he brings is also going to be completely burnt on the mizbeach. But everybody else, where would we ever find that a person is able to donate a mincha that will be completely burnt? That is what Rish Lakish wants to inform us. Mincha above a fe'atzma tzrichalei. He needs to tell us about the case of a mincha that comes by itself. B'chidid Rava, namely, that we should realize, like what Rava says. That Rava says a person can donate and bring as a korban a minchas nesachim every day, and that mincha will be completely burnt on the mizbeach. Now, usually we find a minchas nesachim coming only together with a korban, but nevertheless, it's still a valid thing to do. The Torah doesn't the Torah tells us a completely burnt mincha only when it's brought with a korban. Nevertheless, the person is able to voluntarily say that he wants to do that. So that's what Rish Lakish wanted to highlight to us. Of course, Rish Lakish is not saying Vichid Rava, because Rava is from the next generation of Amiroyim after him. Rava was apparently, if you look at the Seder Hazmanim, was born when Rish Lakish was still alive, but he was at most a young boy. So we just mean the din that later on Rava expressed, then Rish Lakish is saying you should know that din, that din was already known beforehand, and Rish Lakish is telling us like that. So the question is, why does Rish Lakish have to go through that whole rigmarole just to tell us that? V'nishmi'in and kidur Rava. Let him just say the din that Rava said, menadav on a minchas nesachim b'chol yoyim, as far as how that maps onto the five opinions, onto the opinions of the five Tanoim, we can work that out ourselves. Why does Rish Lakish have to do that? So no, the Gemara says, so you're right. Nesachim aboyim la'zevach, it's tzrichalei. The chiddush is about the case of the nesachim that come together with the korban. Suppose that he's not makriv it together with the korban. Suppose that he's makriv it the next day or any other day after that, which he's able to do, as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Sakud ad chamin, and now you would think like this. Now we learned all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, for example, that when the pasuk over and over by the korbanos of Yom Kippur, the pasuk says that min chosim and eskeim. And we learn from that min chosim and eskeim balayla. We learn from that the min chosim and the eskeim can be brought even by night, even though korbanos usually have to be brought during the day. But min chosim and eskeim can be brought by night. Min chosim and eskeim lemocher, and they can even be brought the next day. They don't have to be brought on the day of the korban itself. Now most things do. For example, the blood of the korban has to be sprinkled on the same day the korban was brought, and if not, then the korban is pasul. But when it comes to the nesachim, it's not so. They can be brought they can be brought on a different day. Rashi explains that it's because it says a whole bunch of times by the sukkahs korbanos every day it says omen chosim and eskeim omen chosim and sukheha, one time it says whatever. The point is that so it says over and over, and therefore we can douse in from that it means that you can bring that you can bring them even at night or even on another day. The Tosfos elsewhere argues with that, and says there's a different pasuk that's referring to in connection with the korbanos of Shavuos that I mentioned in Parshas Emor, the connection from the korbanos of the Shtei Alechem. So the way the Torah phrases it over there implies that they can be brought by night. And they can be brought the next day or even a later day. We learned near the beginning of the Masechta they can be brought even 10 days later, and 10 days doesn't mean dafka, it means even a long time later. So now, given that they don't have to be brought together with the korban, you would think, nesachim abayin b'fnei atzman domu, maybe that they should be considered like the nesachim that are brought by themselves, u'moydid Rav Shimon de lo yodu, and therefore that Rav Shimon should agree that im olo lo yodu. In other words, what would Rav Shimon say in our Mishnah when he says that nesachim im olo lo yodu? When would Rav Shimon say in our Mishnah, Olu Yehudu, rather, when it comes to Nesachim, is when they are actually being brought with the korban. But if they're not being brought with the korban, even though they were vowed together with the korban, because when a person brings an Olu or Shlomim or various other kinds of korbanos, he does have to bring Nesachim with them. All it is well, he does have to bring Nesachim. All we're saying is Nesachim don't have to be brought that day; they can be brought a different day. But now but Rav Shimon says in the Mishnah that Nesachim and Olu Yehudu, you would think that's limited only when they're actually being brought with the korban. But you would think, Rav Shimon should agree in our case, since they're not being brought on the same day, the lo yodu, that they shouldn't come off the mizbeach if they became possible, because the fact is, they're being brought on their own, and they're not being brought together with the korban. Kamash malon, therefore Rish Lakish needs to tell us, if not so, Rav Shimon's rule about that the mizbeach is mekadesh only a saroi loy, and that according to him a saroi loy means only something that belongs on the mizbeach independently, and not as a result of something else, that always applies to anything that comes because of the korban, whether it's being brought at the same time as the korban, or whether it's being brought that night or the next day or 10 days later or whatever. Nevertheless, the same rule applies that if it becomes possible, we take it off the mizbeach. The only case, as Rish Lakish said, where Rav Shimon would allow that to stay on the Mizbeach is where, to begin with, the person donated that he was going to bring the mincha by itself or the wine by itself. And then the mincha is treated like a minchas nesachim as far as being completely burnt. However, since here it's not being brought as an adjunct of a korban, then Rav Shimon says it can stay on the Mizbeach if it became possible. Mishnah says, Eru im olu lo yodu. Here are the rules. Now, so far, so the first Mishnah had told us among the types of korbanos and parts of korbanos, what goes on the mizbeach, what remains on the mizbeach, what's im olu lo yodu, and what gets taken off. Now, let's talk about what kinds of psulim are included in the rule of im olu lo yodu and not. We said that if we had the five tanoim, each of whom says that there is certain things that are included in the category of im olu lo yodu as far as what type of korban, only animals and birds, also menachas, also anything that goes on the mizbeach, etc. But within that, there are some psulim which everybody agrees don't go on the mizbeach at all, and then there are psulim which once they're on the mizbeach, then we allow them to stay there each according to each tana within the category that we're talking about. So let's talk about what those psulim are. The Mishnah says Eluim olu lo yodu. The following psulim, if they go up onto the mizbeach, we don't take them down. Halon, when the korban or the emurim or the blood of the korban remained off the mizbeach overnight, then they become possible. Tosfos points out the list in the Mishnah, even though it's going to be a long list, is not exhaustive. There's going to be actually more that a braisa is going to list. Anyway, the korban was left over there. The korban was left overnight, or the korban itself, or the emurim, or the blood was kept off the mizbeach overnight. according to Rabbi Yeshua, it wouldn't be the blood anyway, because the blood is anyway im olu yehudu. Vayotze, or if it was taken, if the blood. If whatever was supposed to stay in the Azara was taken out of the Azara, so the blood or the Emurim, and in the case of Kodshim, in the case of Kodshim, and the blood, the Emurim, and in the case of an Ola, also the limbs, that Tome, if it became Tome, Vishanishchat Chutzuzmane, the Chutzum Kaimai, if it was shechted with a thought that Chutzuzmane and Chutzum Kaimai, which makes it Pigal or Postal respectively, Vishakibla Psulim Vizoko as Ramai, or if a Postal person did the Kabbalah or the Zrika, so all those things have enough kedusha to them, even though they are in fact possible, But nevertheless, im olu lo yerdu, once they go up onto the Mizbeach, then they remain on the Mizbeach. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, here's more. Nishchat balayla, if the korban was shechted by night, if it was shechted by night, it's possible. So now Rabbi Yehuda is going to list a few things that im also tered. And here you're going to have a machlokes him and Rabbi Shimon about these things. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll give you three things where im olo yered, im also tered, where if it went up to the mizbeach, you do take it down. We haven't listed these yet. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say these psulim that we're going to talk about are so severe that they stay off the mizbeach. The Gemara is going to explain that he has a limud from a pasuk for it. So shnishchat b'layla, if the korban was shechted by night, even if the blood was received by day, but the shechita by night alone passels the korban, the nishvach dama, or if the blood was spilled and they didn't sprinkle it on the mizbeach. We learned earlier in the Masechta that if the blood spilled directly from the neck onto the floor, then you can't sop it up from the floor and sprinkle it on the mizbeach. On the other hand, if it was caught in the keli, and then spilled on the floor, then you can pick it up from the floor and put it on the mizbeach. Tosfos elsewhere explains that here we're talking about even if it was in a keli and then spilled, and then it didn't, and then the blood of it didn't end up reaching the mizbeach, then we're still saying, Rabbi Yehuda is still saying, him also tearing. That's if you take the emurim of that korban and bring them up to the mizbeach, you're still going to take them down because the blood was never placed on the mizbeach like it was supposed to. The yotze dama chutz l'kloyim, or the third one, says Rabbi Yehuda, if the blood was taken outside the kloyim, outside the azara, let's say he brought back in the blood and sprinkled on the mizbeach, which was also to do. Nevertheless, in all these three cases, im also teired. If it went up onto the mizbeach, you do take it down. Because he's going to say that we have miyotim in the pasuk for that these three things are excluded. Reb Shimon omer lo tered. Reb Shimon says you don't take them down. Shahoya psulei b'kodesh, because in all these things it was psulei b'kodesh, because all of them the psul happened in kodesh. Now we learned earlier in the Masechta, we discussed the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what the definition of psulei b'kodesh means. Does it mean that the psul happened after it came to the kodesh, after it was brought to the azara? That was a point to Rashi. And then Tosfos had argued with that, and then given a few other possible definitions of psulei b'kodesh and ein psulei b'kodesh. One explanation was that the psul happened after it was already shechted and then had the kedusha of a kli shoreis. Another one is one that in other cases of kodesh, such a thing would be kosher, and only by this particular korban would it be possible. So the words shoy psul b'kodesh are in parentheses over here, and they're not actually in the Mishnayos, whether in the printed Mishnayos, they don't necessarily belong over here. But should Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, here is the rule. Kol shepsul b'kodesh, any korban where the psul was in the kodesh, as we just discussed, about what the possibilities are as far as what psul b'kodesh means. So Reb Shimon says, a kodesh makabloi, then kodesh will accept it. And if it goes on the mizbeach, then it will remain there. Shaloi hoya psul b'kodesh, but if the psul was not b'kodesh, loy hoya psul b'kodesh, ain't a kodesh makabloi, then kodesh does not accept it because we take it off the mizbeach. So again, Reb Shimon is saying that it's true, Reb Yehuda, you may have your miut in the pasuk, but the rule is psulei b'kodesh, and these three things that you mentioned, that it was shechted by night, for example. So according to Rashi's definition of psulei b'kodesh, shechted by night, for example, counts because it was brought to the azara as a kosher korban, and then it was shechted by night and became possible. According to Tosfos, we have to understand that nevertheless the shechita took place in the azara, and therefore it became kodesh with a kli shoreis. It was possible because of the side thing, because it's by night, It's considered psula b'kodesh because it's in the azara, as Rashi had said, but rather Tosfos's first definition is because it had kedushas kli, because it was shechted in the azara. However, it was just at the wrong time. And then according to the other explanation in Tosfos, the vote would be because sometimes that the thing is tosher, namely when it comes to a boma where you can shecht korbanos at night, as we'll learn at the end of our masechta. Next, continues the Mishnah. The elu shaloi hayu psulim b'kodesh. The following cases are not considered psulim b'kodesh, and therefore everybody would agree that if you put them on the mizbeach, you take them off. Hareveya v'hanirba. First of all, an animal that was used for bestiality. Now, here's one of Tosfos's objections against Rashi, for example, earlier in the Masechta. For example, suppose the animal was brought to the Azara, and there reveya v'hanirba was done. According to Rashi, that should be considered psula b'kodesh because it took place in the Azara. And yet we're saying over here that it's in psula b'kodesh. Tosfos has a few different, a couple of different definitions of what psula b'kodesh is. Another point actually was a different place in Shas where Tosfos gives yet another explanation of psula b'kodesh, something where the psul will only apply after it became kodesh. So Reveya v'nirba, for example, is called ein psula b'kodesh because that psul can happen even before they were makdish it. Namely, in other words, let's say, for example, shechting by night. By definition, that psul can't happen before the animal was brought to the azara as a korban. And the same thing with all the other ones. We said lon and yotze and so forth. As opposed to here, the psul can happen before you ever designated it as a korban. In fact, Velvo Brisker brings that even Rashi may mean the same thing. He doesn't necessarily mean before it came to the Azara, something that could happen before it came to the Azara versus not. Here, the Reveya v'nirba could conceivably take place in the Azara, but it doesn't necessarily have to. It could be anywhere, and therefore that's called not psula b'kodesh. Okay. V'ham mukta, then you have an animal that was set aside to be worshipped as a korban for avodah zarah. V'ham nevad, or an animal that was actually worshipped. V'ham esnan, or an animal that was used as esnan zona, as to pay the fee of a zona. V'ham mechir, or that was used to exchange for a dog. Both of those, the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to bring as korbanos. A lot of these things, by the way, most if not all these things, we learned also in the previous parak. These things are mutter b'hanah. They're not also outside of the context of korbanos, but in the context of korbanos, then they're also. But also all these things, that kilayim, or an animal that's a hybrid of two different species. Both species are kosher. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Bechoris that kosher and non-kosher species are not able to interbreed. So its parentage from both sides is kosher. It's definitely a kosher animal, but you still can't bring it as a korban. That shreifa, or an animal that's shreifa, v'ayotze doifen, or an animal born by C-section, or bali mumin, or an animal that's a bal mum. So all of those is in psulim b'chodesh, and both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon will agree that in olu yodu that you do take them off the mizbeach them or their parts or whatever, even if they were put on the mizbeach. Tosfos actually talks about further on in the sugya that we're talking about over here, even you will makdish them first and then one of these things happen. If these things in fact happen before you will makdish the animal, then there's really much less of a chiddush that they should be possible. Because of course then, to begin with, they didn't even have chiddushas and guf. And Tosfos spends quite a bit of time explaining how each of these things is possible to happen. For example, Tosfos discusses on Amud Beis how could mukta and nevad happen after you were makdish the animal? It doesn't belong to you anymore. So now, if a person was makdish his animal as a korban, and then he goes and designates that I'm going to bring this as a korban to avodah zarah, nothing happens. It's not his animal anymore. So Tosfos says, because Rabbi Yossi had really hold in a few places in Shas that Kodesh and Kalim are still considered the person's property until he's actually mocked with them. So then according to him, it would be possible for him to use it for Mukta or Nevan. And then he goes on, what about Esnan and Mechir? How could that work? One Tosfos gives an answer that the animal was pregnant and then the Esnan or the Mechir was the unborn baby. So it gained Kedusha together with its mother, but nevertheless it only actually gets its own Kedusha only when it's born, and so on and so forth. And Tosfos goes on and then goes through each one of them to discuss how it's possible for them to happen after you will makdish the animal. So all of those are not psulim makodesh, and therefore all of those in olu yehudu. As far as, by the way, the Reveya and Nirva, those would actually, if there were two Edim, then the animals chayav misa anyhow, so of course there's nothing to talk about bringing it as a korban. As we learned in the previous perek, we're talking about either there was only one aid or the owner himself came and admitted that happened, and therefore the animal's not chayav misa. So, and it's actually mutter, and it's mutter bahana, however you can't bring it as a korban. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva machshir b'balde mumin. Rabbi Akiva says that when it comes to him, olalo yodu, bali mumim are okay. We'll see in the Gemara what kind of mumim Rabbi Akiva is talking about and why he would say them. Rabbi Chanina Sganakoyanim says kind of an in-between thing. Doicha hoya abas, bali mumim me'ar gabe amizdeach. My father, now Rabbi Chanina Sganakoyanim, obviously his father, he himself was a Sgan Kohen Gadol. His father was also a Kohen. So Rabbi Chanina tells us, my father used to push bali mumim off the mizdeach, meaning in other words that he would be in Olor Yerid, but he wouldn't do it necessarily so blatantly. He would like push it off like almost to make it look like an accident, kind of. So he held that they don't belong on the Mizbeach, but he didn't want to openly go against the opinion that says that they do belong on the Mizbeach, the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore he would sort of accidentally, on purpose, push them off. An interesting point, by the way, they talk about why is Rabbi Chanina called Sgan HaKoyanim? Usually you have, he's the Sgan of one Kohen Gadol, so he should be called Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKoyan Gadol or something. And the explanation is, we know that Rabbi Chanina lived at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. He lived through the Churban. We know that in those years, we know that throughout most of the second Beis HaMikdash, in fact, many of the Kohenim Gedolim would buy their way into the position, and they would last only a year, and they would die on Yom Kippur. So on the other hand, Rabbi Chanina was a tzaddik, and he, Bechlal, wasn't usually the one who went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim anyway, unless the Kohen Gadol was posel for some reason, and then he'd take over. So it came out that he was a sgan to many different Kohenim Gedolim, because each time a Kohen Gadol would be replaced, Rabbi Chanina stayed on as the sgan. So therefore they called him Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKoyanim in the plural. Okay. The Gemara continues, the Mishnah continues, Keshem Shem Olu Lo Yehudu, all these psulim that we said at the beginning and the first part of the Mishnah, that if they go up onto the Mizbeach, we don't take them down, the Lon and Yotze and Tomei and the rest of that, Kachim Yehudu Lo Yalu, the same way, if they were taken off the Mizbeach, we don't put them back on. So in other words, let's say, for example, the Lon. So what we're saying is like this, the blood of the Korban, for example, was left overnight, and now the Korban became possible. Now, notwithstanding that, they went and took the emurim of that korban and put them on the mizbeach. We're saying him olu lo yehudu. Now, suppose somebody else said, wait, those don't belong on the mizbeach, take them off. And he takes them off. Nevertheless, we're not going to put them back on again. We're not going to say, well, but you weren't supposed to take them off, therefore we should put them back on. No, once they're off the mizbeach, leave them off the mizbeach. And furthermore, continues the Mishnah, all of these cases that we said in the Mishnah, if they went up to the Mizbeach while they were alive, Yehudu, then they come down because the Mizbeach is not Makadish anything while it's alive. It still needs to be shechted. Whether we're talking about, the Mephoshim discuss, are we talking about when the animal, for example, is a Baal Mum, where again, we said Rabbi Akiva allows, in certain cases, Baal Mumim to stay on the Mizbeach. So here we're talking about the Rambam and the Bar Tanura explain that we're talking about that a Baal Mum goes up onto the Mizbeach alive, and we're saying that you take it off the Mizbeach, because even according to Rabbi Akiva, it belongs there at most only after it's shechted. Other Mephoshim point out we don't really need that. It could very well be that the animal is perfectly kosher and it goes up onto the Mizbeach, but nevertheless, it doesn't belong over there because you don't shech on top of the Mizbeach. we learned in the sixth parak that b'diavad, if you shecht it on the mizbeach, then it is kosher. We talked about with kodshim kalim. We talked about with kodshim kalim, it can be any part of the mizbeach. With kodshim, we discussed what part of the mizbeach, because it depends on what part of the azara was the mizbeach in. We had the whole discussion over there on daf nun ches on the subject. But in any case, you're not supposed to shecht on top of the mizbeach. So therefore, take it off the mizbeach, and so therefore, you do take them off. Similarly, ola should also hire the rosh on the mizbeach teirid. Even an ola, even though the whole ola is burnt on the mizbeach, if it goes up onto the mizbeach, you take it down rather than shechting it over there. Now, when we learned that actually on daf nun ches at the beginning of the sixth parak, Tosfos had pointed out over there that midaraisa it would actually be fine to shecht it on top of the mizbeach. It's only midirabbanan we don't want to because the animal might defecate over there before you shecht it, and it would be a bizoyan to the mizbeach. So even an oiler, even though daraisa you could shecht it on top of the mizbeach, nevertheless she'olsa chayav the rosh mizbeach. If it went up alive to the top of the mizbeach, tear it, take it down from there, don't shecht it. Shechtem rosh mizbeach. If you did go and shecht it on top of the mizbeach, as we learned there, then fine, yachit v'inatcha b'mekoyma. Then you strip off the skin and you cut it into pieces on top of the mizbeach. Usually, you would do those things in the base of the pachayim and on the north side of the mizbeach. But here, where it's already on the mizbeach, then you keep it up there and you do all the processing of the korban up there. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Now, let's focus first of all on the part of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned three psulim that he says in Olu Yehudu. We said that if it was shechted at night, if the blood was spilled, or if the blood was taken outside of the Azara. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, we learn in a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda says, where is he getting these three from? Because the pasuk says, Zois Hi Ha'ola. The pasuk goes like this, Zois Toras Ha'ola, Hi Ha'ola. So you have like this, the word Zois is a mute. Only this, nothing else. He is a miyot, it's not anything else. And ha'ola is a miyot, what belongs on the mizbeach. Or actually, it actually explains, so it's rather the hay of ha'ola, the ola that belongs on the mizbeach. The letter hay is often used to darshan the best one of its kind. So we have three miyotim. Harelu gimu miyotim. So we have three miyotim in this. We have three miyotim in this pasuk. Tosfos points out. Now it says twice in the pasuk the word ha'ola. The first one actually is meant to teach us a different din. The fact that the first thing that goes on a mizbeach every day is supposed to be an ola, namely the tamid, that you don't bring anything before the tamid. The fact that it says toras is a ribui that there are certain kind of psulim im olu lo yevdu. But when it says zois and it says the hay of the second time and it says ha'oila, then that teaches us, says Rabbi Yehuda, three miyotim. So the first one teaches us not when it was shechted at night, the second one when the blood was spilled, and the third when the blood was taken outside the kloyim. Those three we learn from those miyotim shim also tevid that if it went up onto the mizbeach, you take it down. Why those three? Because the psul happened before the blood was sprinkled, Rashi points out. So now the truth is that Rashi points out Nishchat Chutzlos Mana and Chutzlos Mekoma, for example, is also before the Zrita, and yet Rabbi Yehuda is not excluding those. So why is he not excluding those? We're going to discuss further on. We're going to discuss in the next few lines. But first he's saying that Yavar Mute teaches us that you exclude these three and they're not subject to the rule of an Olu Yehudim. Reb Shimon says no, you have to dash in differently. When the pasuk says Ola, Ein Li Ela Ola Ksheira, from the word Ola you would only know if the Ola is kosher, then you keep it on the mizbeach. Minayin l'rabas, how do we know nishchata b'alayla, the cases that Rabbi Yehuda just mentioned, she nishchata b'alayla, but she nishbach dama, she yotza dama chutz l'floyim, as well as the other ones from the first part of our Mishnah, v'halon, v'hayotza, v'hatomer, v'she nishchat chutz l'zmanu, v'chutz l'mkoymer, v'she kibz v'psulim v'zoku as dama, all those cases that we said in the Mishnah where you have some kind of psul, and nevertheless we said him olo lo yodu. And let's add even more. Hanitonin lamata shenostin lamayla. What about korbanos where the blood was supposed to be applied on the bottom half of the mizbeach, and you did it above the top half, and you did it above the midline, you did it on the top half of the mizbeach. So all korbanos behemer except for chatas. Or the other way around, ones that are supposed to go above that you did below, a chatas or an oilas ha'oif that you did on the bottom half of the mizbeach. Zanitonin b'chutz shenosan lefnim, or ones that are supposed to be placed on the outer mizbeach and you did them on the inner mizbeach, b'fnim shenosan b'chutz, or ones that are supposed to be on the inner mizbeach and you did on the outer mizbeach, or Pesach v'chatas v'shochtan shalad shmon, or the Pesach and the chatas, whereas we learned all the way at the beginning of our mesechta, that if you do them, that if you shech them shalad l'shmon, then they're possible, unlike most korbanos we said are kosher and the owner is just not yotze. Minayin, says Reb Shimon, how do we know that all of those have the ruling from Olo Yerudu? Tamad lema, Torah sa'ola riba, Torah achas, l'chola olim. The Torah says, the Torah sa'ola, the Torah of the Ola, meaning there's one Torah for everything that goes up onto the Mizbeach, Ishim Olo Lo Yerudu, that if they go up onto the Mizbeach, then they should remain there. Zos Torah sa'ola, hi ha'ola, al-mukhda, al-mizbeach, kalalayla, nevertheless remains on the Mizbeach all night. It remains on the Mizbeach all night, and you don't take it off. Yochol continues Reb Shimon, Yochol Shani Marbe Harevea Vanuva. You would think that you would include the psulim from the second part of our Mishnah. The ones that were not psulim akodesh, the Revea Vanuva, Vamukta Vaneva, the Esnan Machir, the Kalayim of Sefer, the Yotze Dofen, and you would think that maybe all of those in Olo Yerudu as well. Tamalema Zois, therefore says Reb Shimon, that you have the miut from the word Zois. So in other words, in short, he's saying that he holds that out of those three miyotim of Rabbi Yehuda's, you're using only one of them, only Zois, not he and not the hay of Ha'oil. And from that, he's learning from the Zois that the ones that are not Sula Bakodesh are excluded from the Mizbeach. So those in all of Yehuda. Continues with Shimon Umara Isol Rabbis Elu. Now, Tosfos points out, by the way, that Rabbi Yehuda would agree by some of them. For example, Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned only three psulim, when they were shechted by night, when the blood was spilled, or when the blood was taken outside the ployim, that those, he says, in Olu Yod. He would agree with the rest of the psulim of the first part of our Mishnah, Lon, Yotze, Tomei, etc., as well as with the other ones that Rabbi Shimon adds in the Brais over here. The ones about, for example, Lamaila and Lamata and Bifnim and Bachutz and Shalom Lashman and all that, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that those are also im Olu Lo Yehudu. And Tosva spends some time discussing Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about those different possibilities. Tosva also brings up the point where the blood was spilled before Kabbalah, would Rabbi Shimon in fact say Lo Yehudu? Would Reb Shimon say that if Kabbalah was done, then fine, that's enough to say him Olo Lo Yehudu. But if the blood was lost before Kabbalah, would Reb Shimon, and Kabbalah wasn't even done properly, would Reb Shimon say Lo Yehudu? Or maybe Reb Shimon would hold that that would be a case of him Olo Yehudu. So Tosfos discusses that point a bit. Anyway, so says Reb Shimon, Mara Isal Rabbis is Elu Lahotzias Elu. So why are we including one group and excluding the other group? If we have a ribui in the pasuk of Torah Sa'ola, that everything that goes on the Mizbeach stays there, why are we saying that Zois excludes the Revea of Nirba and the rest of the ones in that category? So the answer is achash riba, klosav miut, because since the Torah is giving us a ribui and then a miut, then we have to figure logically what are we going to include and what are we going to exclude. Marban yes elu, the logic would be that we're going to exclude the ones in the first category, shoy psul and bakodesh, because their psul was in the kodesh, however we define that. According to Rashi, that the psul happened after they came to the Azara. According to Tosfos, that it happened after they had the kedusha of a kli shores, or these are things that are kosher in some other context. Umotzian yes elu, shaloy psul and bakodesh, and therefore I'm going to exclude the revea venirba and the rest of that, where the psul was not for Kodesh, it took place before it came to the Azara, or according to the other possibility we said, according to the Velvel Brisker's understanding of Tosfos and of Rashi, it would mean that it could have happened before it came to the Azara, and it doesn't matter whether it actually happened in the Azara or not. And according to Tosfos's possibilities, it happened before it got the kedusha of a kli shores, or it's something that would never be kosher in any other context. Anyway, so that's the logic, what to exclude and what to exclude and not exclude. Okay, that's how Reb Shimon learns what is included and what is excluded when it comes to Im Olu Yehudu, Im Olu Lo Yehudu. So that's how Rav Shimon learns. Rav Yehuda Maisi Lamechacha. Now, Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, has a different limud for how we know what stays on the Mizbeach and whatnot. So Rav Shimon had said a blanket statement, Psula B'Kodesh or Ein Psula B'Kodesh. Rav Yehuda says, I have a different way of defining how we know what is allowed to stay on the Mizbeach even though it's possible. Why are the Chachamim saying that if the blood was left overnight, then nevertheless, if the emurim of that korban go on the mizbeach, then im olo lo yered? The reason is shay lon kosher be'emurim, because we find there is a case within the korban itself where lon is kosher, namely if the emurim were left off the mizbeach overnight, then nevertheless, we still say im olo lo yerudu when it comes to the emurim. So therefore, in other words, like this, the blood becomes possible by shvia, as we learned in Perek Ezer Mekoyman. The emurim become possible by alois hashachar. You can burn them all night on a mizbeach. The point is, in other words, that the same way as the blood was left off the mizbeach and was not sprinkled by shvia and it became possible. Nevertheless, the mizbeach is able to, you're allowed to burn the emurim on the mizbeach of a kosher korban until alois hashachar, and even if they stayed until after alois hashachar, there's still b'dieved kosher, and in olo lo yodu. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's reason enough to apply that lon with the blood, even though the blood is completely possible at this point, because it was left overnight, nevertheless, it's still good enough for us to say that that it stays on the mizbeach. Tosfos spends some time at the bottom of the Amud dealing with how exactly Rabbi Yehuda learns that, and how we're learning that the emurim are going to be kosher in this case, and how we don't have a double limud of the kind that we learned back in Perek Ezer Mekoyman is no good, and so on and so forth. So he says the reason why lon is kosher is not because Sula Bakodesh, like you said, of Shimon, because we find a specific example where lon is fine. Similarly, and for that matter, he says lon ve emurim kosher. How does he know by the emurim themselves that if they were stayed off the mizbeach overnight, that the dievet im olo lo yerdu? Shari lon kosher babasa. Because when it comes to the meat of the korban, then the meat is kosher to begin with. Sometimes when it's lon a shlomim and certain other korbanos, so eating the shnei yamim v'layla achod, and that means they can be left overnight. Because the meat can be left overnight in the case of some korbanos, therefore we can learn in turn the emurim from that, and once we learn the emurim from that, we can also learn the blood from that. This is part of what Tosfos deals with at some length over here. How is this not lomid min alomid, which is a problem that we learned before, that you can't do that, and for that matter, why we can't learn the blood directly from the meat. So again, Tosfos discusses various angles on that, why that should be so. In any case, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's where I'm getting there for that lon will be kosher. How about yotze? How about if the blood or the emurim were taken out of the azara and brought back in, that b'dieved, if you put them on the mizbeach, im olo lo yodu, not because psula b'kodesh, like Rav Shimon said, but a different reason, shai yotze, kosher b'bama, because we find by a bama that if it was taken outside the area, then it remains kosher because during the time when bamas were mutter, because by a bama there's no such thing as an azara around it. There's no specific zone within which the blood and the emurim and the meat of the korban have to remain. So that's reason enough for us to apply it, but to say that even by korbanos and the Bais Hamikdash, where there are mechitzas and there is a certain area where it needs to remain, nevertheless, we would still say that it's good enough. Tosfos points out, now that's not a reason to say that blood going out should be kosher altogether. The most we can say is fine, by a bummer, that is the normal way of doing it, but at least we can say that it's in olo lo yodu. What about Tomei, continues Rabbi Yehuda? Why, if the Emurim became Tomei, you should say him Ololo Yerdu? Because you find an exception where Tomei is Mutter when it comes to Avodah Sibur, when a Korban Sibur has to be brought, and the Koyanim, or the Korbanus themselves, become Tomei, you still bring the Korban. So here for him Ololo Yerdu is good enough. So what about chutzlus manoi? Well, chutzlus manoi. What about if it was shechted with the thought of chutzlus manoi? Why should that be considered him olol yerdu? Says Rabbi Yehuda, ha'yulam rats of a pigulai. Because, after all, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, it is acceptable as far as pigul, namely the shechita is effective. That now later on you do the zrika, and now once the zrika is done, the korban is established as pigul, and it has all the din of a pigul that a person eats in his chayiv karis. So then, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, it does have to be that other than the thought of pigul, the korban was completely kosher. So therefore we see that shechting with a thought of chutzlus manoi has enough of a connection to the kedusha of the mizbeach, namely that when the rest of the avodas are completed, then it becomes officially pigul. Chutzlus makoymai. What about when it's shechted with a thought of chutzlus makoymai? So he says, however, itkash for chutzlus manoi, because we have a hekesh between chutzlus manoi and chutzlus makoymai, because we learned earlier in our Masechta, we talked about a long pasuk in Parashat Tzav on the subject, where we said that pasuk is hinting at both pigul chutzlus manoi and pasul chutzlus makoymai. Therefore, again, says Rabbi Yehuda, since all these things, then you have, there's something special about that psul. That makes it there's something where we see that psul has sometimes where it's something that is kosher, or at least something that has a degree of kashrus there, and therefore that's good enough for him. Although the Yehudim, Shekibla psulim v'zorko es damai. What about when psulim did the kabbalah or the zirka? Rabbi Yehuda would explain b'hanach psulim the chazul avodah sibur. What we mean is not every kind of psul, only the ones who are kosher for avodah sibur, namely if a kohen who's tamei did that. So even though a Kohen was Tomei, it's possible to do the Avodah, but since if it had been a Korban Sibur that was being brought B'tumah in a case where the Kohenim are Tomei, and he's then allowed to do that, he's allowed to then do the Avodah, then therefore that's good enough for him Ololo Yerdin. Tosfos points out, by a Bama also, by a Bama also, a Zohar can do the Avodah. If we're learning before from a Bama, then why don't we do that? And the answer is because when it comes to the blood, which is more of a chumrah, because after all, the blood is used for the actual kapara of the korban, we don't want to learn it from some place where that's the normal way of doing it. Sure, by a bama, you don't need mechitzes. Sure, by a bama, a zohar could do it. We don't want to learn the din of blood from it. At least before we were saying that by yotze, where the emurim were taken out, that we can learn from by yotze of emurim, that we can say we can learn from the bama. But yotze of dam, that was one of Rabbi Yehuda's three psulim, that he said remains possible. So the reason is, that's why, because the blood is more chomer, so Rabbi Yehuda does not want to learn that from a bama, but to learn emurim, which are not as chomer, those he can learn from the bama and say that those are fine. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Going through your list of psulim, Rabbi Shimon, the ones that you say, although they yodu, most of them I agree with you, not because, like you say, because the psulim nakodesh, but rather because each one of them we can find a place where that particular psul is, in fact, is kosher, at least the dieven. Or at least that has a degree of kashrus in it, such as making it officially pigul. But on the other hand, the three that I excluded, the three I have, my three miyutim in the pasuk, Zois, He, and the Hay of Ha'ola, and therefore I'm excluding from that things, where it was shechted by night, where the blood was spilled, and where the blood was taken out of the ploim, those are not in that category, and therefore I exclude them and I say him all the yodu. So the Gemara asks, how can you learn like that? How are you learning something that's not done in the way that's kosher from the way that's done that is kosher? You're telling me, for example, that the meat of a shlomim can be left overnight, and therefore it's fine for, and therefore b'dieved, if the emurim were left overnight, you can put them on the mizbeach and in olal lo yodu. But wait, rather shlomim is lachatchila that you can leave the meat over, or not lachatchila. Maybe we talked about earlier in the Masech, the Tosfos, as I said, maybe lachatchila even the shlomim should be eaten on the first day, and only the is giving you a leeway for the second day, fine, but nevertheless, it is perfectly kosher to leave over a shlomim for the second day. How are you learning from that, the emurim, where you're not supposed to leave them over for the next day?
And the same thing with some of the other things that we're saying over here. How can we learn that the Emurim, if they're taken out of the area and you bring them back in, because by a bummer, there's no issue of taking them out in the first place. By a bummer, that's the Hsheva. That's a perfectly normal way of doing it. By the basis of the Shatana. And the answer is, you're right. Tana as Zos Torah Sa'ola Riba Samachleg. Mainly, Rabbi Yehuda is relying on the fact that it says Zos Torah Sa'ola, which he said means Torah Achas V'chala Olin. There's one Torah, there's one rule for everything that goes up onto the Mizbeach. So he's including most of the psulim from that. But on the other hand, he has three miyotim from Zois and he and the hay of Oila, so he needs to exclude something. So now he figures out which ones are we going to exclude is the ones that, as far as figuring out which psulim we're going to exclude, to include and exclude, for that we can even use davar shebech sheirim and davar shelo bech sheirim. If we didn't have the ribui of zos torah sa'ola, then you're right, we wouldn't do that. We would say just because something is mutter by a bama doesn't mean it's mutter in the bais hamikdash. Just because something is mutter when it comes to the meat of the korban doesn't mean it should be applying to the emurim as well. But once we have a ribui of zos torah sa'ola, that we realize the Torah wants us to broaden the number of things that should stay on the mizbeach, even though they're possible, and only we have three miyotim. So now, when it comes to figuring out what are those three miyotim, then we're going to exclude only three of them, the three that Rabbi Yehuda listed, and leave all the other ones. And as far as all the other ones, since we can find something, even if it's done in davar shebech sheirim, davar shelo bech sheirim, that's fine, and we can do that, and it's still a valid way of learning it. So that is how Rabbi Yehuda learns that all these psulim remain on the Mizbeach except for the three that he mentioned. Meanwhile, again, Rabbi Shimon holds there's only one miyot over there. Apparently, he uses the other two things for other drushas, and therefore he says that there's only one. Therefore, he says that there's only one miyot, and we learn from that all these things that all the ones that are in psulim akodesh. The Reveya, the Nirba, and the rest of them. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't need that, because Fakir, to point to Rabbi Yehuda, he wouldn't have included anything if it weren't for Zos Torah Sa'ola, and that itself tells us that it has to be something light, enough like an Ola that it has a certain connection to the Mizbeach. And then within that, whatever we can learn out that is kosher someplace else, then we're good over here as well. So we'll continue on this topic, Rez Hashem, tomorrow.